Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found Nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in to the early line. This is hour number two here on NFL Kickoff Day. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. There's a lot of good stuff coming up in this hour. We will give you that full preview that you need for Rams-Bills. We'll talk Super Bowl predictions, NFL Awards predictions. Well, we started off with a market that we really enjoyed talking with you guys with a lot last year, which is the highest scoring team of the week and the lowest scoring team of the week. Now, this is a Sunday-only market, so no Rams-Bills, no Seahawks, no Broncos, but still a really fun market. And Donnie, let's start here. The highest scoring team, Sunday only. The Chiefs are the favorite at 8-1. We then get the Chargers, Colts, Bucks, and Ravens to round out the top five. Are you looking in that group or maybe further down the board?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it simple in this one. I'm going to look, you know, top of the heap, as we like to say, and I'm going to pick a game which is actually a divisional game here between the Las Vegas Raiders and the Chargers. Now, in this game, as we latch it up, what we had seen, the price is 10-1, so I am going to be in that upper echelon. It's simple for me. You have two good offenses that are going head-to-head here, Kevin. I think the better defense overall here is obviously the Chargers, so I don't really want to go with that Vegas side or pick an upset, which I don't think the Raiders are going to win this game. I do think the Chargers will do that. But I just can picture this as Justin Herbert, 350-plus yards, multiple touchdowns, my guy Keenan Allen certainly being involved here. I wanted to keep it simple. Let me play a team where I'm going to be looking at a game that I think is going to approach 50 points. Let me take a team with a quarterback that I do think is one of the best in the NFL. Good weather conditions, since we're going to be sitting in a dome. That's the way I went with it here for myself. I'm taking the Chargers to be the highest scoring team here in week one.
Yeah, I think that's very understandable because that comes, you would think, right, with that implied running mate in the game, kind of, which is what you're talking about there. The one thing I'll say is, and people will be reminded of this, is they're, you know, looking at these odds maybe for the first time today, how much value you get if you're willing to bet an underdog in this market. You know, the favorite is the Kansas City Chiefs at 8-1. The Arizona Cardinals, who if they win that game, you would have to imagine are going to have to go wild. That would be 24-1. The team that I'm very interested in is the Baltimore Ravens at 14-1. I think it's reasonable the Jets are still the worst offense, or rather worst defense in the NFL. Baltimore, we have seen go out there in week one of seasons and go absolutely wild. And perhaps a vengeful Lamar Jackson is under center. Well, not under center, but you get the point. And is just lighting up this Jets defense at 14-1. I don't think the Ravens are a bad look either in this market, DRS.
No, I don't think they are. And what are we going to get out of the Jets, right? And also, you're trying to say to yourself, well, Lamar Jackson heading in, maybe gets that contract, maybe he doesn't. But either way, you figured he'd be ultra-motivated, right, Kevin?
Yeah.
Don't get your contract on Friday afternoon. Let me go out there and put up 5 touchdowns by myself. Do get your contract. Boy, Ravens really like me. You know what? Let's get after it now. I'm ready to take this team to the next level. It makes a lot of sense because even for the X's and O's on the field, I think it works. But even the outside, you know, adjustments coming in where contract or no contract, he's going to be raring to go.
Yeah, certainly is going to be the case. Now, let's take a look at the lowest scoring market right now. The Chicago Bears are the favorite at +800. Jets, Falcons, Giants, and Texans round out your top five. I'm going to ask you about the team specifically, though, because it's your boy. It's your new guy.
Yeah.
sixth best odds to finish with the lowest scoring team, Mitchell Trubisky and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is that something that you've given consideration, or is this slander on Mitchell Trubisky's name? I'll bring the radio audience into the fold first, the early line, SiriusXM, Channel 159, talking highest scoring team, lowest scoring team of the week. What about the Steelers at 13-1?
Yeah, I mean, it fits the mold. It really does fit the MO in that point, if you're looking for a Steelers perspective, where you don't think this game's probably going to be a shootout. But then again, if you have one side of the football in Cincinnati getting after it, Mitchell Trubisky is going to have to return fire. But I passed on that 13-1 price here. I'm going to take it a little bit shorter, actually $1 shorter, and go with a plus 1,200 here on the New York football Giants in a late rain down in Tennessee. Does anybody think this game is going to be a shootout 35-34? Raise your hands. Absolutely not. Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley's probably going to get 20 touches in this game. That clock's going to move. Same thing on the opposite side. You have King Henry in the backfield. This is going to be a lower scoring game that the Giants will not win. So therefore, I think there's a really good chance, Kevin, that the Giants don't score a lot of points. I'll take them at a 12-1 price.
Rarely have you and I come away and told people the same team. But when I went over this, I said, I do not care. I will repeat whatever he says if he says the New York Giants. At 12-1, they do sure make a lot of sense. They are a dog of decent proportions and actually on the road, which feels like not the case for all these other teams. By the way, all the other teams that are in front of them are at home. We know the Titans are going to look to run the football. You mentioned the weather conditions. I think you could argue at 12-1 the Giants should be the favorites in this market. Now, it would be a giant mistake, though, if I got out of here without bringing up one final team in this market. And it's a 21-1. Everybody's favorite offense, DRS. You know exactly where I'm going with this. Matt Patricia and the New England Patriots. Is it almost a principal play at this rate to predict this team to be shut out?
It is, but hear me out here also. There's a team down there at 45-1 that might have some quarterback issues come Monday morning if they struggle. Do you know what that team is? The Philadelphia.
You know what? I got to tell you. We're going to hit a break.
Let's stir the pot right now.
We're going to hit a break. We come back. We'll find out how much money Donnie is being paid to say such slanderous and uninformative things, and we'll try and correct course. We're talking awards next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's talk awards. We are flying by. This feels fantastic. I got to tell you, I told DRS on the radio side of things on Tuesday, I said, this doesn't feel real. It does not feel like the NFL season is actually here. I'm like, I'm capping Auburn against San Jose State right now. You could convince me the NFL doesn't start for another month. And we are here right now, and it feels fantastic. We're talking awards. Instead of going through each award and throwing you a pick, I wanted to narrow it down a little bit and allow each one of us to pick our favorite three bets, any awards market we like, because that's a little true. Instead of forcing maybe to find value on the MVP board, we could talk if there's time, but I wanted to hone in on the markets that we believe presented value, and which is really fantastic and not intentional. We don't have any crossover bets here, though. So you're going to get six legitimate looks right now in this segment. Start DRS again. What do we want to go? One by one here? You want to start us off then with one of your favorite awards bets?
And again, I'm never a guy that usually comes into the season and wants to bet anything on the defensive side of the football. When a guy just pops off the screen to me where I'm figuring, all right, if the Dallas Cowboys, you want to take Dak Prescott as a prop, CeeDee Lamb, you know, Zeke Elliott in the backfield, Tony Pollard, that's fine. But I'm looking defensive on this team because there's one guy with one mission on this football team is to wreck your offensive line and get sacks. Kevin, we talked about coming into the NFL, right? Oh, this guy's going to be really explosive from a middle linebacker position. You've talked about this point before. And they said, well, what happens if he's such a freak athlete that we just say, rush the quarterback because it doesn't even matter, but you're just so much faster and stronger than most of these players. You'll get home more times than not. turned into 13 sacks here in a rookie season, and I think the sky is the limit for Micah Parsons. So if we're looking overall, this is an award, Kevin, the Defensive Player of the Year. It doesn't go to a middle linebacker who makes a lot of tackles, and quite frankly, it rarely goes to a DB because what do you have? 15 interceptions in 17 games to even get a look at this point. And the better of the cornerback you are, the less statistics that you have. And if you don't have statistics, some voters, Kevin, are going to tell you, I can't vote for you. You only had one interception. Yeah, but I'm the best cornerback in football. Nobody throws my way. Doesn't matter. You only got one interception. That's not the case. If you are a dominant defensive lineman, Kevin, you're getting sacks. Miles Garrett, 7-1. T.J. Watt, 8-1. Aaron Donald, 9-1. Nick Bosa at 10-1, followed again by Micah Parsons at 10-1. Then it falls off a little bit with Joey Bosa, 25-1. So if I'm looking at this position, Miles Garrett's awesome. T.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, Nick Bosa, the same thing. But if I'm looking for a guy that can take that next step with 13 as a rookie season, I'm not going to be surprised, Kevin, if Micah Parsons approaches 20 sacks on the season, and I'll take that 10-1 price. I want the guy who's not quite at the top of his game but still rising, and the sky is the limit. That's where I'm going with Micah Parsons.
I tell you what, that is it's a big statement, but again, he was so impressive last year. And the Defensive Player of the Year market has gone to a defensive lineman 7 of the last 8 seasons, with Stephon Gilmore the only exception. So you're certainly, I think, zoning in on the right position. I'm going to go to the Offensive Player of the Year market, and I'm looking at Derrick Henry at plus 1,600. I basically think that Derrick Henry should be the favorite in all of these markets. I truly have at this point told myself that I really believe Derrick Henry would have won MVP had he stayed healthy last season. I really do. If they would have finished with the one seed and Henry would have stayed healthy with the pace that he was on, which was another 2,000 rush yards and 20-plus rushing touchdowns, I think it would have won MVP. At the minimum, if he's able to repeat that, he's going to win the Offensive Player of the Year. There's plenty of candidates there, but I don't know if Cooper Kupp goes all the way as high as he did last season. I don't think Jonathan Taylor will go as high as he did last season. I understand there's love for Justin Jefferson. We'll see. New head coach, there's a little more assumption there. Christian McCaffrey, the health question that we've talked about a lot. I know what I'm going to get from Derrick Henry. What's the floor, right? 1,800 rush yards? 15 rushing touchdowns with health provided. I think Derrick Henry, as always, is set up for a big season. To get him at 16-1, Donnie, is a piece that I really like.
I mean, if you're talking the floor is 1,800 yards, I mean, this guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame by the end of the season, because that ceiling would be 2,500 yards.
And we'll
see what happens. But I agree. He's an easy target because he's going to be the focus of that offense. And if it's healthy, we know he can really pile up the statistics quickly. That's what I do enjoy. But if his floor is 1,800,
I think it might just be. Keep us moving here. I know you're looking at some rookies.
Yes. Are we going? No, hold on. No. We're not looking. You're looking at rookies here. I'm looking at comeback player of the year here. Right. That's where I'm going next year. So, look, I know you like your picks, but don't pawn your picks off on me, because you know what I should have done? I should have played that off as my offensive rookie of the year with a certain player, but I won't do that to you. I wanted to do it, but I won't. Let's get back to comeback player of the year. Juju Smith-Schuster. What are you kidding me, Donnie? Come on. Didn't even show up last year for Pittsburgh. It's straight out of town. But who did he actually go to? That was the Kansas City Chiefs. Come on now. Tyreek Hill. No. Tyreek Hill's moved on from the Chiefs over to the Dolphins, which opens up a lot more wide receiving options here. And if we're looking at the top of that list, your boy Derrick Henry's listed at 5-1, and that should be a good pick. Jameis Winston here, 6-1. Hey, he's a quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's going to put up statistics. I get it. But I was looking for one of those prices where over 10-1 that made some sense. It would not surprise me at all if Juju Smith-Schuster gets back to what he did primarily earlier in his career. Take a look at his second year in the NFL, Kevin. 1,426 yards. Then Big Ben's arm got in the way in 1920 and 21, where Juju Smith-Schuster was injured. Healthy this year, heading into training camp, I think you might be looking at a big season for Juju, and at a 25-1 price long shot, I'll take a swing at that one.
I like it. I actually think it's one of the more creative guys I've heard mentioned in the market. And if they really find Juju Smith-Schuster, I think that'll work quite a bit. I still got Derrick Henry on the mind. I have a 1,700 yards. Can I get you to agree to that? 100 yards per game as the floor for Derrick Henry? I think it needs to be considered. Go ahead.
You really set me up on a platter then to take your offensive rookie of the year, and I should have went with it. But again, I was being nice.
No, but,
I, Man, I missed that. I would have loved that.
Here is the thing that people are going to find out in about 45 seconds. Donnie is going to give you a pick on a rookie, but he is so stuck on a script, he couldn't possibly pivot and go out of order. That is completely irrelevant. That is completely irrelevant. With that being said, I think Dameon Pierce presents a world of value to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year award. While I understand that some people might say, hold on, a Houston Texan. Hold on, everybody else. The people that Kenny Pickett's in front of him, not a starter. George Pickens is what? Option four in the pass game for Pittsburgh? Olave is option four in the pass game, literally. In New Orleans, Breece Hall is not listed as the top back on his depth chart. Sky Moore is what? Option nine in Kansas City? Romeo Doubs, don't make me do this. He's wide receiver four right now. And the list goes on. The workload that is there for Dameon Pierce is different from every single rookie DRS at 11-1. I think he is unbelievable value to an Offensive Rookie of the Year.
It's a pretty fun market when you look at it, too, because, again, Kenny Pickett, if he starts game one or he's in by game five, he's probably going to win it. I don't believe in George Pickens being a rookie wide receiver paired up with a rookie quarterback. The quarterback's going to get the nod over him. So I like where you're going with Pierce. But even though, remember a couple weeks ago I was talking about Malik Willis was like 50-1 or a little bit higher than that. He's down to 40-1. I think this is a really fun market that if you just took a flyer on a player way down just because of injury to step in, you might hold yourself with a big lottery ticket. But you can't go wrong with the guy that's the starter week one, and you say, well, who's going to come in for him during this year that you want to take a look at? Nobody. That's his job alone, Dameon Pierce.
Go ahead. Sneak in your rookie pick that's not a rookie pick. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. Let me defensive rookie of the year. It's Aiden Hutchinson here. And said, Don, it's really easy. He's plus 450 winning. I get that here. Thibodeau 8-1, Hamilton 10-1, Trayvon Walker 12-1. I just see good things from Aiden Hutchinson. If you're getting Saxon in the mix, that's half the battle. He's going to do that, and I think he's going to win it. Plus 450 for me.
And the Lions probably, I mean, someone somewhere has to win an award for Detroit. They all, does anybody, what about Malcolm Rodriguez, though, in this market? We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line, and it is time for Super Bowl predictions. Now, I didn't get to my final award, and that's okay, because it ties in to my runner-up. So I'll start us off here. We'll just do runner-up, and then we'll get to the winner, I think. I think that'll work best. That's kind of the format that we've been rolling with here. My runner-up is the San Francisco 49ers, and that's why I think Kyle Shanahan can win Coach of the Year. I think they will win the NFC West. And I think that Trey Lance will hold this job down the entire season. And I think that will push Shanahan at 20-1 to win Coach of the Year. And I think it goes beyond that. The San Francisco 49ers were up double digits in a Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. They weren't able to hold on. Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo's fault. They were up double digits against the eventual Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams last season. And they weren't able to hold on. Maybe that's Jimmy Garoppolo's fault. I look at Trey Lance as someone that provides something completely different to this team. It's already impossible to scheme and prepare for the San Francisco 49ers with two of the biggest mismatches in the entire sport in George Kittle and Deebo Samuel. Every report suggests that Brandon Ayuk is due for a breakout season. And basically, if you're a running back for Kyle Shanahan, you're going to be fantastic and average about 5 yards per carry is how this whole thing feels. The San Francisco 49ers have always been solid on the defensive side of the football. Now with a completely different element on offense, with the running ability of Trey Lance, I think they have the chance to maybe be the best offense in the NFL. That's how much I trust in Kyle Shanahan. Again, the floor for this team, it feels like, with healthy quarterback play, has been a trip to the NFC Championship game. And I definitely think Trey Lance, Donnie, has a higher ceiling than Jimmy Garoppolo. My runner-up, the NFC champions for me this year, the San Francisco 49ers.
All right, and I'll agree with you on one shot. They will be the runner-up, maybe in their division, but I don't think they're even going to make the playoffs. I love this because we can bring these up at the end of the year. We'll see if it makes sense. But you do have some salient points here. If Trey Lance is everything that they thought they were going to be when they were getting him in the draft, this is going to be a market upgrade over Jimmy Garoppolo. I understand that. And this is Kyle Shanahan. If you ask me today, Donnie, you have one football game, you got a team total to pick, what coach do you want? It's Kyle Shanahan because he uses the run game as a home run play where the rest of the league figures it to be like, a nuisance play to hand the football off. So there are some things going in the 49ers direction I agree with. Now for myself, taking a runner up, how about this? A nice, juicy price here on the Philadelphia Eagles at 20-1 if they were to win the Super Bowl. Now, hear me out on this. Well, Don is an Eagles fan. He's a homer. It's been a while that I've actually come around the Philadelphia Eagles and been this excited about a season outside of if you get good quarterback play, they're going to be a team that's going to be hell on wheels. Why is that? They're talented, Kevin, across the board. When is the last time I looked at my Philadelphia Eagles and said, they have the best cornerback position in football. Every year, it's like, the Eagles have no cornerbacks. How can they compete? They're going to get shredded in the secondary. If you take a look at Darius Slay, Avante Maddox, James Bradbury, and Gardner Johnson, that's the best crew in the entire NFL. Mix that in with an upgrade at the linebacker position, adding Reddick to be a pass rusher and an already elite defensive line. This team is ready to get stops on defense, and it's been a while since we were able to say that. But the offensive line, one of the best, if not the best in football. Look at the wide receiving core. Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown with Watkins, another flat-out speedster here that's just going to be running streaks left and right. If they can find some decent, healthy running back play, there's no reason to believe that the Eagles can't do damage. Now, also, you're saying, well, Donnie, they have to at least get to the Super Bowl. Well, if I'm down on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and I don't think they're going to be as dominant as everybody thinks they're going to be, that's really the lead dog out there along with the Los Angeles Rams. And keep in mind, Rams, Cardinals, and 49ers are going to beat each other up all season long, which leaves the Philadelphia Eagles in the East. Who do they go up against? The Cowboys, who we're not extremely high on. The Giants are in that division. Come on now. And the Washington Commanders here, what's their ceiling? 9, maybe 10 wins if everything goes perfect here? You might be looking at the Philadelphia Eagles with a 5-1 record in the NFC East and propelling themselves to that number one overall seed, which is what you're going to need to make it to the Super Bowl. Now,
it's about time.
I see Kevin's clip.
It's about
now,
time.
For the
it's about time. For the don't ruin it. Don't ruin it. Okay. Just leave it. It's about time. I just got to say this. As I was putting mine together, I was truly like, Donnie might leave the NFC blank. Because I know that you're out on the Packers, the Bucks, and the Niners.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
that's
I don't think tough. He's going to do a repeat Rams. And I didn't think you'd come home, back home to the birds. But yeah. Again, the thing is, I know we have to add these stupid caveats of we're Eagles fans, but you out there know how talented this football team is. It absolutely could be their season. I'm just glad I also didn't pick the Eagles. Then that probably would have been a little overboard. Let's talk Super Bowl winners. I got to tell you, I think I've surprised myself here even a little bit with the team that I've selected. But as we got closer and closer to this day, it became inevitable, and I just had to embrace it. Nugs, my dog, let's ride. I got the Denver Broncos winning the Super Bowl this year. There's nothing to be said about, a guy can't come over, first time, too much change, and ultimately figure it out. Yes, it's year one for Russell Wilson in Denver. It was year one for Matthew Stafford in L.A. And I know you're going to tell me, well, that was with Sean McVay. Luckily for Nathaniel Hackett, I don't think this is all that difficult. Let Russ cook. And the weapons are there to cook. I'm sure that right now you would tell me that DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett is a better 1-2 punch than Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. Give it a year. Of Sutton and Jeudy now not playing with Drew Lock and playing with Russell Wilson and eventually Lockett and Metcalf having to play with Drew Lock. The running back room is phenomenal. Javonte Williams looks like a breakout star and Melvin Gordon is a phenomenal power back at minimum for this football team. The offensive line is solid. It's not gangbusters, but it is solid. And I really like what they present on the defensive side of the football in the most important areas. Year two of Patrick Surtain. Round out the secondary with Kareem Jackson, Justin Simmons, and Ronald Darby. And off the edge, signing Randy Gregory to pair with Bradley Chubb. They have the pieces to slow down opposing pass games. Do you think that might be important when you're trying to win and survive in the AFC West up against the Chiefs, Chargers, and Raiders. And let's talk about the AFC West. Everybody thinks the idea is that this division is going to beat each other. Everybody's going to finish 3-3 in division. I'm not sure about that. What about the idea that whoever wins this division is going to need 12 wins, maybe 13 wins, which gives you a legitimate chance, if you're high on one of these teams, to maybe be the number one seed? And I'll tell you right now, if the AFC goes through Denver, that is a phenomenal home field advantage. And also, sometimes you just want to start hot. And my goodness, does this team have a chance to start hot. Take a look at these first 8 football games. Seattle, Houston, San Fran, Vegas, hosting Indianapolis on a Thursday night, which is a major advantage. Then they get the mini bye to play the Chargers, the Jets, the Jaguars. By the way, then they hit their full bye and play Tennessee. The schedule spots, not just who they're playing, but when they're playing these teams, lines up legitimately for Denver to start this season 7-2, 8-1. And when Russ gets hot, there is no turning back. Donnie, me and Nugs, it's our year. I've got the Denver Broncos to win the Super Bowl.
There you go. Denver out of the AFC. Now, my team coming out of the AFC is going to be the Buffalo Bills. And I've been on this bandwagon for quite some time. Thought they'd win the Super Bowl last year. Came up a little bit short. But this should be the season that Buffalo finally crosses over, getting to a Super Bowl and ending that long drought that the Buffalo Bills have dreamed of. 4 straight Super Bowls back in the 90s. Couldn't win any of those. I think they get the job done this year. If you take a look at the defense, it's going to be elite here. Once they get Tre'Davious White back at cornerback, who's starting the season on the PUP list, you draft after the first-round draft pick out of Florida, Elam, the cornerback. You got Johnson in the slot here. So one of the better tandems that you're going to find, along, as I said, with the Philadelphia Eagles previously, but also an elite safety core. How about this? Hyde and Poyer back there, two of the best guys roaming center field. You also pair that up with an elite pass rush added with Von Miller. This has the makings of a very good defense for the Buffalo Bills. But also, you're talking about defense, and I get it. The Bills are going to be good, but the offense should be an absolute machine. If we're taking a look at Josh Allen taking that next step, what is the next step? To win the MVP of the NFL. A decent run game mixed in, but the wide receiver position, you have an elite wide receiver in Stephon Diggs. Gabriel Davis certainly turning it on last year. I do think he's going to have an impact tonight in this football game, which you get to in just a few moments. But also McKenzie. Speed, and more speed. Big playability, big arms, and Josh Allen running for over 500 yards. It's certainly going to be a mix here. The Buffalo Bills are 6-1. Now, funny story behind this, too. Like, hey, Donnie, you've always been on the Buffalo Bills, 6-1 price. I even took them with my FanDuel wager here. $200 here. You get 20 bucks for each and every win they get. At least they get 10 wins here. You get your money back. Then you're free rolling once you get to the playoffs here. Yeah. But I was like, you know what? I think the Buffalo Bills win it, Kevin. But I don't know if I want to bet them. I want a better price here. So maybe the Chargers or somebody else. And Scott West had to say, oh, what are you being an idiot over here? Take the team you think is going to win the Super Bowl. Worry about the money later. Let's go, Buffalo.
That part was never in doubt, but it's understandable. The Bills are a very talented team on both sides of the football. We know that is true. Do I love their price at 6-1? No, not necessarily, but no. I'll tell you, you could easily argue, Donnie, for that FanDuel boost right there. Bet a team to win and rack up money back for every single time they win a football game. Yep. Is it capped out at $50 back?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a $200 wager capped at $200. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I think it varies between probably the player on how high that goes. But again,
it was $20.
What is the Bills' floor, right? The Bills' floor is probably 10 wins.
Exactly.
You'll take that each and every time. You're essentially free rolling then on the Super Bowl favorites. We'll keep talking about the Super Bowl favorites and the defending Super Bowl champions. Your Bills Rams full preview is up next, right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rams, Bills, it all begins tonight. The Rams are a 2.5-point home underdog. The total of the FanDuel Sportsbook checking in at 51.5. Let's do it, man. Let's do it. It's side total. What are you thinking? Money line? How do you want to bet this game in terms of the more forward-facing aspects?
It's hard for me to go against like a season, you know, prognostication here, right? If you see Donnie's geeked up here on the Buffalo Bills, it's because they have the ability to win the Super Bowl. And winning the Super Bowl means winning big games on the road, like beating the Rams in their own building opening night. I got to tell you, like, even like handicapping it, once this game is over, let's just say Rams 31, Bills 26. That's a real disappointment. Hey, lost by 5 points to the, you know, the Super Bowl champions. No shame in their game on the road. No, I don't view it that way. I view this as like a measuring stick game for Buffalo, where if they're for real, you got to win games like this. Last year, we thought they were going to take that next step. They lose opening day to the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. You can't have those type of missteps here, even though I do think this is going to be a close, hard-fought game. So if I'm looking at it from the perspective where upset alert for the Buffalo Bills because they're favored by 2.5 at this point, yeah, that's going to come into play. But I got to tell you right now, I'm expecting a big performance out of the Buffalo Bills, which means they're going to win this football game, Kevin.
So this has been a little bit of a back and forth in terms of do I want to do the side of the total? Because it's Rams or nothing for me. Again, I cannot imagine a world where somebody thinks that the Bills deserve to be 2.5-point favorites on the road against the Los Angeles Rams. It just does not make sense to me one bit. But I initially saw this game and felt that the play was the under, because I think that the defenses are being a little overlooked in this respect. But the problem is twofold. We know that when the Bills are rolling, it just keeps going, right? Like, that's not a team that, when they're hot and attacking early, is going to just lay up and, I feel like, finish at 24 points, right? If they can get to 30, they'll get to 30. And right now, Buffalo's dealing with some cornerback issues. Tre'Davious White on the PUP. These are a pair of rookie cornerbacks going up against Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, and Allen Robinson. That sounds a bit dangerous to me. The initial thought for me was under, but at this point, I think I just have to respect the value that is here on the Los Angeles Rams and take them plus the 2.5 points, because I don't think they should be an underdog. Do you have thoughts on this total? Hey, Donnie, any lean over or under?
Yeah, when you have a perfect scenario, which means two very good offenses here, Kevin, in a dome opening day, you know, maybe the defense isn't all put together, but usually we'd like to say that the defenses are ahead of the offenses. I don't know if that's going to be the case. So it is sort of a tricky proposition, because we're not getting a, you know, just Fields on one side or a Trey Lance would say, oh, it's, you know, first game, little bit of jitters here in this one early in their career. That's not the case. We're looking at two Pro Bowl caliber quarterbacks with the elite offenses ready to get after it. So I do struggle a little bit with that. But I got to tell you, if I'm going to stick to my initial, you know, thoughts over the past 2 weeks, I am leaning towards the under. I mean, this game is still going to be played in the 50s. Two good teams that there's a lot of big things both of these teams expect to do this year. I don't know if we're going to get into a track meet 35-34 type game. I do lean towards the under. But as you said, there's a lot of weapons. I mean, there's good defenses, don't get me wrong, but you're talking about elite offenses, you're getting after it.
Yeah, we certainly are. Let's talk a little bit about this props market here. I know you're always looking at the touchdown score market. Cooper Kupp is minus 135. Everybody else is in at a plus price. Josh Allen, I'm sure, will be popular. He's plus 160. Where are you looking tonight in the props market?
Yeah, you know where I always like to go to? Let's just take a look at the anytime touchdown market. Is it easy for us to go with the big names in here? You know, Diggs at wide receiver, Cooper Kupp. Would it surprise you if on the first drive of the game, Cooper Kupp scores a touchdown? No, it won't. But I'm also looking at price and value that you're going to get and saying, okay, if I take out the number ones, which, you know, most teams entering into the game, what do we have to do against the Los Angeles Rams, Kevin? Try to stop Cooper Kupp. Good luck. They haven't done it, you know, very much throughout his NFL career. But if we're trying to double cover him in the red zone, okay, that leaves other guys open. How about Allen Robinson, first game here? We forget how much of an elite wide receiver he actually is at one-on-one plays, because he didn't really have great people throwing him the football. Matthew Stafford is a risk taker. One-on-one coverage at the 20-yard line going in, he's going to float that ball up in the end zone and say, I'll take that each and every time. As you said, there's no Tre'Davious White out there on this football field, so maybe you're getting a quarterback matchup that you can just flat out jump at this time, and maybe that's the way to go. So if I'm looking at Allen Robinson, it's plus 150 here for an anytime touchdown score. Now let's go to the opposite side here for the Buffalo Bills. Should it be Stephon Diggs' first play of the game, 60-yard touchdown pass? Yeah, it could be there. But if Jalen Ramsey is going to shadow him or want the piece of him for the majority of the game, I'm going to look elsewhere, because the rest of the secondary isn't nearly as good as Jalen Ramsey. Gabriel Davis here, a plus 160 price here to score a touchdown for the Buffalo Bills. So look at it this way. You get one of those two guys, you get plus money, and I'm going to take very good secondary options where I do think both of those wide receivers will have productive 2022s, and it starts tonight. Mm-hmm. Give me the secondary options at the plus money.
Yeah, I think that's very solid there. I think the Allen Robinson one also caught my eye. When you factor in last year, Odell Beckham Jr. in somewhat of a similar role, because he didn't score in his first game, which is fine, but when you include the playoffs, 7 touchdowns in the next 9 games for Odell Beckham Jr. Robert Woods, by the way, was scoring touchdowns at a decent rate, basically every other game when he was still out there and healthy for the Los Angeles Rams. So at plus 160, or now down to plus 150, Allen Robinson isn't bad. I know you don't necessarily want to, you know, off the starting gates, maybe late chalk, but Cooper Kupp minus 135, scored in every single playoff game last year, multiple touchdowns in the final 2 playoff games with the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. Is minus 135 really enough to push me away from Cooper Kupp? I don't think so, DRS. I actually, because I know you're talking about, you know, a pair of plus money, I might just take both of the Rams starting wideouts in the touchdowns market. And I think there's a chance you get both, and I think your floor really should be one of those guys. Let's talk yardage or wherever else in the props market that you're looking here for Rams-Bills.
Yeah, receiving yardage here. Again, I'm going to keep the same theme here. Do we expect Cooper Kupp to get multiple targets in this game? Or should I say double-digit targets? Yes. Do we think Stephon Diggs is going to get a couple deep targets here? Absolutely, I think that way. But also looking at those secondary markets, and I'll keep that there with Gabriel Davis, over 60 and a half yards. If we think this game is going to be lined in the 50s, meaning both of these teams will probably get 3 touchdowns apiece at a minimum, so they'll both be into the 20s, I think looking at these secondary shots, because these offenses aren't built, Kevin, to say, hey, it's opening night. Let's hand the football off and let the other team make the first mistake. They're going to be getting after it in the air right away, early and often today. So if I want to avoid those, again, first markets here with Cooper Kupp and also Stephon Diggs, I'm going to look to those secondary targets, which I do think some make some sense, the Allen Robinsons. But I just thought that 60 and a half here for Gabriel Davis made sense. Last time we saw him out there against the Kansas City Chiefs in that shootout loss, Kevin, how about this? 10 targets, 8 receptions, 201 yards. And 4 touchdowns in that game. So I'm looking for that next level step up, which again, I don't need 201 yards, Kevin. Just need to get you around 70. We'll cash this ticket.
Yeah, Gabe Davis is, for a lot of people, primed for a breakout season. I mean, take a look. Mm-hmm. Only 9 yards of separation between Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs, which really speaks volumes. I think Isaiah McKenzie as well, when we're talking about Bills wide receivers from a yardage perspective, numbers 31 and a half. Isaiah McKenzie now really established as likely the third pass catcher in this offense. I guess you could argue Dawson Knox as well, but I think McKenzie has a real chance to be involved now with a steady diet in this passing game here. It certainly makes sense. I'd be remiss to not mention the Cooper Kupp number at 94.5. Part of the reason I gladly bet Cooper Kupp over the season is I don't have to make a decision now each and every game about whether or not I want to bet Kupp for 100 yards. The Kupp market, though, that I was all about at the end of last season was the longest reception at 26.5 to the over. Again, up against what is going to be a pretty young cornerback group right now. While I'm sure it'll be all eyes on Cooper Kupp, when you're consistently targeted double-digit times, it's hard to ignore. Running back room, DRS, anybody worth your attention in that space?
Yeah, really didn't take a look too much at the running backs because, again, it's one of the harder things. The reason, Kevin, I didn't take any running back props for that like season long is I just don't know. I have a feel like game one. Like, what is the MO coming into this game? I figure it's more going to be relying on the quarterbacks and the wide receivers, where take what you get out of the running back position. So I laid low on running backs in this game one.
Devin Singletary is interesting. The number's 43.5. I know people are trying to figure out how much could a James Cook be involved. But just to give people an idea, even on the touchdown market, you know, last season in his final 4 regular season games and plus both games in the postseason, Devin Singletary was into the end zone. He's a plus 155 to score. But look at his yardage. 86, 39, 110, 88. 81, did not rush the ball a lot against Kansas City, but we saw in the lone preseason drive for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills starters, 3 handoffs went Devin Singletary's way in that game, and he made good use of them, by the way, going over for 39 yards, actually, on four carries, excuse me. So, but look, that's almost this number. Devin Singletary's rush yards from EDRS really lines up. Let's get the people some specials here before we're on our way. Where's the plus money that you're going to be looking at?
Yeah, those two that I said earlier here, right? Allen and Stafford, one touchdown each half at a plus 290. And also each team to get one touchdown and one field goal each half plays off at a 10-1 price. Now, again, getting familiar with some of these options at the FanDuel Sportsbook, trying to have some fun. The game specials market, which really came into prominence last year for us, cheering these on. And I found myself having anywhere between like 5 to 15 bets a weekend on these because they do make some sense. And also, cashing these tickets in earlier in the year were a lot easier than late in the year. Very good, certainly, you know, weather conditions, teams that are getting after it, no bumps and bruises that you get in weeks 13, 14, and 15. But, Kevin, the one that pops out, I guess, for you, right? Plus 105, Josh Allen and Matthew Stafford to combine for 500 passing yards. Now, I see it says an end here. Let me see if I can take this out a little bit, see what the actual end is. Let's see. And...
Four passing touchdowns.
What is the end? Do you know what the end is? Passing touchdown. Come on. It's on my computer.
Yeah. Come on now. You don't remember 504? I'd say these markets all feel like home. The problem is they were the kindest in the world to us at the beginning of last year, and then things fell apart.
And then Mike White happened.
I hate talking about it. Look, 504 for Stafford and Allen. Yeah. I mean, listen, each guy is favored to throw two passing touchdowns. Each guy's prop is over 270 when we're talking about yardage. Yeah. The idea that one of them throws for three is far from unreasonable, which puts you in a fantastic spot. I'll likely be involved here. I'll tell you one thing I won't be involved with, though, and maybe this is a mistake, but I don't think I'm going to do each team for a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown.
Where is that?
Plus 155 is where that's listed tonight.
There it is. Yeah, gosh, it seems so easy, doesn't it? Like, of course they're going to both do this here. Then you find yourself, like, there were some games, Kevin, like, oh, they got three rushing touchdowns, no passing touchdowns. No. Like, you know what? I give up at this point. But I love that. I don't know. If I watch tonight, Kevin, and these hit like a pinball machine, I'm going to be pretty upset if I wasn't involved in all of these.
Yeah, I know. And then we'll be there Sunday, and then you're going to potentially trip and fall over some of the specific games. Some of the other numbers that we've often really appreciated last year. Allen and Stafford, each for a passing touchdown in each half, as Donnie mentioned, plus 290. Diggs and Cooper Kupp to combine for 200 yards and two touchdowns, plus 390, which is a legitimately big payout there for two top talents at the wide receiver position. We'll hit these on Moneyline as well, so make sure you tune in 1 p.m. Eastern on Sports Grid Radio. We'll see you there. Before you go anywhere, make sure you listen up. Donnie got it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, final segment of the day here for the early line on a football Thursday on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159, down your right side. Kevin Walsh powering through the last 2 hours, and boy, we could have used 4 hours or even 6 hours here talking about football, the season, prognosis, who's going to do what, which bets are going to cash in. But tonight, as we know, we have the big game on stage, finally, the Rams and the Buffalo Bills. They are ready to do battle, but I got to tell you, are you ready for some football? Listen up. And by are you ready for some football, I don't mean Tennessee Martin and Missouri State in college football tonight. Yes, I'm talking about the NFL slate for tonight on Thursday, Sunday, and also Monday night football. We've been talking about these games until we're blue in the face since the schedule came out early in the spring. And we're finally here. The long wait is over. The summer months where May, June, July, August, finally into September, where we get a 10-bell matchup tonight between the Buffalo Bills and the Los Angeles Rams. I cannot wait for this one to get underway. We went over it. On the FanDuel Sportsbook, I took my wager, $200, on the Buffalo Bills to win the Super Bowl at a 6-1 price. And the best part about that is every win along the way, I'm going to get $20 back for. So let's go Buffalo Bills. But also, just nice to see the pageantry. Just nice to see the pregame shows back on. Halftime, how quick it is compared to college football. You get right back on the field, making those in-game decisions while you're watching a primetime game live. And then we have that complete schedule on Sunday afternoon. And the thing that we love about football being back in our lives and early in the season, there are no bye weeks. Every single NFL team is going to play today, Thursday, Sunday, and also into Monday night. What a season it's going to be. And oh, yes, there still is college football week two on the horizon. So we get that first full weekend of Thursday through Sunday night of wall-to-wall football coverage right here on the Sports Grid Network. There's no better place to be during this football season. It's going to get underway. We're waiting for it to happen, but before it does, Ben Stevens in the Morning After coming up next. There's a surprise guest on there. All right, it's me.